been over here. Katie Knott's not very well this morning, and Yvonne couldn't also come because of sickness in the family. So, yeah.
anyway, it's good.
If you've got a Bible, it'd be great if you can open it up to Luke chapter 8. So we've been looking at a series called A Jesus-Shaped Life, and we're going to continue that this morning. We're going to keep on looking at that. So I'm just going to read out a little chunk of Luke chapter 8 from verse 4. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 4. The first few verses, I just want to point out, they mention some amazing women of God that also helped Jesus. But we're just going to get stuck into the parable of the sower. So Luke chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." Just hold on a second. So Jesus says things deliberately for people to not understand. Just seems to me like Jesus is a really bad communicator. Like, you know, if I was a preacher and I started saying things deliberately so you can understand, it's really weird. But Jesus obviously has his ways and his purposes, and he wants the people that are really open to it to really hear it. And then he explains the parable to his disciples. He says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Turn to someone and say, "It's time to grow." I don't feel like you're a... You need to almost like preach it at them. Say, "It's time to grow." Still a little bit reserved. We'll work on that as we go on this morning. Just a show of hands, who here this morning loves growing stuff? Who's a bit of a horticulturalist? You love a bit of gardening, whether that's plants or veggies. Keep your hand up if you're a veggie grower. I know that Andy is down the front here, but there's a few of us in the room that are veggie growers. My hand's kind of up, but it's kind of not, because I'll just tell you very briefly my story of growing veg. So when we moved into our house a couple of years ago, we've got, you know, a nice-sized garden. I thought, here we go. I'm going to grow some veg. I was working for Holy Trinity Church in Blaken at the time as an outreach worker whilst also working for HBC. And we had a gardening project, which was to inspire people that they could grow vegetables themselves, but also to provide a place for isolated people to feel like they were part of something and to get stuck in with an activity. And it's a great project. It's still going at the moment. And there was a guy there, Jim. Jim's been growing veggies for years. He's in his 70s. He was a teacher, a high school teacher, and he was just a teacher in everything he did. So he'd just teach you in a really lovely way and then crack really awful bad dad jokes, which were just, I'd laugh and then tell them to my kids. So we grew potatoes. So I helped plant the potatoes. I dug the rows for the potatoes and piled it up. You have to pile up potatoes. And we got a really decent crop the first year. I was like, this is amazing. We had, what else did we have? We had some strawberries growing and carrots. And carrots didn't really work. But anyway, they got eaten by carrot flies, whatever they're called. And there were other stuff. So I was like, that was pretty easy. I can do that. So... without hesitation, I got stuck in. I built a raised bed in the garden, and I filled it with earth, and I dug over the earth that was in the ground, and I planted some potatoes, which I bought from the garden centre, planted them in, and I piled it all up. I got a few. but they weren't that great. But my biggest disappointment with my gardening was, I've done gardening at various times over the year. I lived on a farm for a few years, and we did all kinds of growing and stuff. Like, you know, we had potatoes that you'd have to get in with a tractor. So I was a little bit disappointed in my skills, that I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was. But my biggest disappointment was tomato plants. So I've grown tomato plants throughout my teenage years particularly, and I thought, they're easy. You just stick them in the ground, give them a bit of sunshine, make sure they're watered, they'll grow, they'll be fine. Sometimes they're better off in a greenhouse, depends on the variety. So I planted some tomato plants. We had about 6 or 7 tomato plants. And then Lindsay, for Father's Day, bought me one of those, you know, zip-up greenhouse things. It's just, you know, it's about that deep and it's about this high plastic thing. Put it together, stuck it at the side, stuck my grow bag in with my 3 tomato plants in it. And man, they grew. Oh, did those plants grow. They grew and they were massive. I was having to tie them up, making sure they weren't falling over. They were getting really high. But I was getting like, why is there no fruit on these tomato plants? Honestly, I didn't get one tomato from 3 plants. And the plants were massive. They looked healthy, but they didn't produce any fruit. I've since found out that apparently you have to help them pollinate when they're in a greenhouse by shaking them. That's literally it, shake them. But also, sometimes they can get too hot in a greenhouse. They don't like to be too hot. Basically, the conditions need to be right for them to produce fruit. And I was thinking about this passage of the parable of the sower. I was thinking about us. I was thinking about me. And thinking about, there is an implied thing throughout Scripture. It's not even implied, it's explicit. That we as Christians grow, but we also are to produce fruit. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I'm not just pointing fingers at all of you. It's like, you know, when you point one finger, you've got several pointing back at you. 3, I think. But I was thinking, sometimes we can look like a really healthy Christian, but actually we just look like a healthy Christian, because actually the plant is to produce fruit, and we in our lives are to produce fruit. And primarily I think of fruit as being making other disciples, telling people about Jesus, but there's also deeper fruit, there's spiritual fruit, there's maturity, there's growing up in our faith so that we can actually develop as Christians. Because actually one of the things that can sometimes happen is that if we get stuck in a place in our lives, it just gets frustrating. And I don't know about you, but when you're stuck in a place and you just feel like you're stuck, it's frustrating, there's no growth, there's no movement, there's no maturing, and it just is annoying, and you just feel like you're going over the same things over and over again. God doesn't want us to get stuck in one particular place in our lives. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow, and that means that things start to change when we start to grow. We might still be in the same frustrating job or the same frustrating situation or whatever it might be, but actually if we are dedicated to growing and maturing and learning what it is to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, to become like Jesus, that all of a sudden the situations we find ourselves in, they start to feel a bit different, because we have renewed faith, we have fresh passion, we have fire in our hearts to keep on going for it with God, so that although the situations might not change, we change because we're growing. Turn to someone and say, it's time to grow. It's time to grow. It is. It's time to grow. I don't want to stay in the same place. If I look back over my life and the chapters of my life, I've not seen much change. And I'm going over the same things, the same patterns of thought, the same issues keep cropping up. Then something needs to change. I need to grow. We need to grow. That was just a nice introduction. There we go. So let's just quickly tap into this story before we run out of time this morning. So he talks about soil, Jesus. Jesus is great, isn't he? Like when he talks, he's great. He's so good, because he gives us these stories and then he just explains it to his disciples, and obviously they were kind enough to write it down and we get to understand it as well. And obviously in that context, quite often it's about receiving Jesus and becoming a Christian and following him. But I think Jesus' parables can actually go deeper for us as well. And it comes to us growing and maturing. So the soil that Jesus talks about, he's got a few different soils. There's 4 in total. He talks about the path, doesn't he? The path is a bad place to land seed. The path is where Satan snatches the word of God and it doesn't have a chance to take root. What does that look like? Or maybe it looks like we've kind of, you know, you've heard the word of God and actually you just don't want to do anything with it. And it's taken away. Maybe the kind of word that came to me about this was having a hard heart. A heart that doesn't want to grow. And it might be that you're a Christian. You call yourself a Christian or you're kind of at that place of saying, yeah, I believe in God. But actually, you've allowed your heart to become hard. And a hard heart is really hard to grow. A soft heart, a heart that is for God, a heart that is up for it. So I just want to ask that question. Has your heart got hard? Have you got cold to the stuff of God? I don't know what that means for you, but if that is you, we're going to have a chance to pray at the end. Rocky ground. So the rocky ground is you receive the word of God, but there's no depth to the root system. There's no depth. Some plants can actually thrive in a rocky ground, but the type of plants we're talking about, it just can't. And the root system here is symptomatic of maybe just, I don't know, I got this image of like loads of stuff going on in our lives. There's other things in there, and that actually the ground isn't prepared well enough so that it can't take root. It's too shallow. And then as soon as the sun comes out, the roots get scorched and it dies. This doesn't retain any moisture. It doesn't retain any of the things that we've heard from God. It doesn't hold on to it. It doesn't keep hold of what God has maybe said to us. And therefore, it just kind of like, it comes in one ear, it goes out the other, and then by the next hour later or the next day or a week later, we've kind of forgotten what God has said and we're just kind of back to where we were. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. I know I have at times where I felt like God's spoken to me and I've not really grabbed hold of it and caught it and I've just let it go. I've let it go. And maybe it's to do with our faith being a little bit shallow. We have a shallow faith. And if we have a shallow faith, it's not really a good faith. It's not a good place to be. Sometimes as well, I can sometimes feel a little bit shallow. I don't know about you, but I'm an experiential person. I like to experience stuff. I like to learn by doing and learn by seeing and kind of getting involved. I like listening as well, but that's kind of, I like to get involved. And actually, when we rely on the experience of faith and how we feel to sustain us and to keep us going, it's actually quite a dangerous place to be. So sometimes I don't feel very close to God. I don't feel it. Do you know what I mean? If like some of you might identify with this, I don't feel it. I'm not, you know, sometimes we'll be in worship. Sometimes I'll be leading worship. And just being honest, sometimes you guys look like you're having a great time, like God's really turning up. And I'm doing my best. But sometimes I don't feel it in perhaps the same way as somebody else is encountering God. But it's just one of those things. Sometimes you might be in the congregation on a Sunday and just be like, well, everyone else seems to be having a great time, but I don't know. I'm just singing the songs. And do you want, that's okay. Like, that's okay, because we were at Soul Survivor in the summer. Mike Pilavarci was on the stage, and like people are encountering God all around the room. And he said, you might be here thinking, I'm not really feeling it this morning. And Mike Pilavarci was like, I'm not either, but God's still here, and he's still doing stuff. And actually, we rely so much on our feelings. I do, anyway. I rely on my feelings to feel like everything's great with God. Actually, what I really need to rely on is the truth of what the Bible tells us, that God is real. Jesus really did die and rose again, that he is present. Even when I don't feel it, God is still here. He is still with us. So even this morning, if you're not feeling it, that's okay, because God is still here. He is still true. He is still alive today, and he still wants to meet with us. But it is also really great when I have those moments where I get to really just encounter the love of God, and I want to keep pressing after that and going after that. And we do as a church. That's one of the things we love going after. And then there's the thorns, isn't there? The thorns are a bit of a nasty one. The thorns is where the root, it starts to take, but unfortunately other stuff grows up around it. And Jesus is really helpful here. He really unpacks this, and he says that the thorns are life's worries. Life's worries. And it also is riches and pleasures. I wonder this morning if we have let life's worries rob us of what God wants to do in us and through us and with us. Have we let life's worries get us? I know as I get older, life's worries seem to get bigger and more, I don't know, bigger. I haven't got another word. You know, when I was younger, it's like I didn't have as many worries. And as you get older, you start to have all these different things, pressures, family life. You know, I have to turn up to work, otherwise Andy tells me off and things like that. Where are you this morning, Ed? No, he's not really like that. Because I turn up. I do my job sometimes. No, I do. Life's worries, they're real things. They're real issues that come up. You know, it could be really serious stuff. People being ill in our families or friends that are, you know, that's a worry. Things of financial stuff, job, children, life, university, college, school. These things are real things. And they can easily distract and rob us of what God wants to do in us and through us. Riches and pleasures. This is an interesting one. Do we spend more time focusing on the things that make life a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit like, oh, if I just had a little bit more money, if I just went after that, or if I just got the new iPhone XS? Yeah. But I don't know if you've done this. So I've lived like this, like loads of times, and I still fall into it. When I was like, oh, if I just got the new iPhone 6, I saw it. I had a meeting with somebody, another church leader, and he had the new iPhone 6 when it was first out, like 5 years ago, whenever it was. And I was like, oh, I just want that phone. I really need it. If I had that phone, my life would be so much better. I got the phone. And it was. My life is amazing now. It's great. I'm kidding. Like, maybe for a day, you just go, yes, I've got the new iPhone 6. But it doesn't sustain. It doesn't give you that deep satisfaction inside your soul. It doesn't give you that deep joy that can only come from God. It doesn't. It might make you happy, but it's momentary. It passes away. It's not sustaining. It's not there forever. And stuff is, it's okay. I'm not against stuff. I like having a phone, and it's useful, and in our culture, it's kind of, you know, rely on it for work and everything else, and keeping in touch, all those kind of things. But it's not enough to sustain my soul. It's not enough. And those things, that's just a silly example, those things can become the be-all and end-all of people's lives. And we can see that happening in our culture. We get caught up in the consumerism. And I'm not anti our culture. I just want to see God break into our culture to redeem it for his kingdom and for his glory. So it's not a bad thing to have this stuff. But when it becomes our everything, then it becomes a bad thing. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. As a church, we're believing that we are stepping into a season where we are going to grow numerically and grow deeper and spiritually with Jesus. We want to see more people come to faith. We want to see us in our faith getting stronger and more like, yes, come on, God, we're going for this. I want to grow. Personally, I don't want to be the same as I was last year. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to keep moving on with my journey with Jesus, with my walk with him, because it's exciting when we do that, when we step into who Jesus is and what he wants in our lives, and when we say yes to him and we focus on him, we turn our attention to him. It's exciting. Stuff happens in our lives, and it's good. And even amongst all the bad stuff that can go on, the difficulties, the pressures of life that are real, they don't distract us from what Jesus wants to do in us and through us and with us. We need to keep growing. We need to keep on pressing into God. What does it look like for you? What does it mean to grow? What does it mean to have soil that grows? What does that look like in its fullness? Well, sometimes the stuff that's in our soil is actually, when you think about planting, you're putting stuff into the soil, don't you? So you can put fertilizer into the soil. You need to put some water into the soil. You need to make sure that the soil is good. You need to sometimes pull up some weeds. And the kind of the image I got was, or the kind of out of that image was, what are the influences that in our lives that we're putting into the soil? What are the things that are going into the soil which are feeding us, which perhaps distract from who God is and what God wants for us? What are the things we're listening to? Who are we listening to? What are the things that are coming into our hearts that we're taking hold of that we shouldn't have? Maybe it's lies that we believe about ourselves. Maybe it's around our identity, that you're not good enough. You're not worthy. And that's actually true. You're not good enough and you're not worthy. But by the grace of God, Jesus is good enough. Jesus is worthy. And because of that, God now looks at us and he sees us as he sees Jesus. And he says, you are my son. You are my daughter. Forget all the rubbish. Take that away. You are good enough because of who Jesus is in you. So we can grab hold of that truth. You are good enough. You might not feel it. And sometimes we need to get better at stuff, whether it's personal skills, where, you know, sometimes we might drop the ball and stuff. Sometimes we make mistakes. We get it wrong. And I just feel like Jesus always, always says, that's all right, son. You dropped the ball there. Let's go again. Amen. Let's go again. Let's not let a chapter in our lives determine the rest of our story. Don't let something that's happened in our lives determine the rest of your story. Because we've all got stuff that's happened in our lives that can actually hold us back. And there is some really tough stuff that has happened in some of our lives. And I know enough of you to know some of your stories. And hopefully you know my story as well. There's stuff that's happened in my life, tough stuff that could have determined my life. But I'm not going to let it. Because Jesus says, it's time to grow. I'm not going to let those chapters, don't let those chapters in our lives define the rest of your story. Let Jesus and his story define your story. What are your influences? What's going on in your life? And just what another really practical thing. Maybe worship team, if you guys can come up and get ready. We're going to have a time of worship and we're going to respond in a moment. But actually letting go. Letting go of the things that we want. So you can't always get what you want. But you still need to grow. Life doesn't always turn out exactly how you might want it to. But you still need to grow. Jesus is still the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever. And even when life doesn't work out how we want, he still wants us to grow. A Jesus-shaped life is a life committed to growth. It's committed to being his disciple. So what are the things that influence you? What are the things that distract you? What are the things that can rob you of what God wants to do in and through you in your life? And what are the things that maybe in this moment Jesus is speaking to you right now? Just a thought has popped into your head. Yeah, do you know what? That's started to rob me. Maybe it's lies that we believe about ourselves. Maybe it's stuff from the past in our history. Maybe it's the things that are going on right now in our lives that are just distracting us from what Jesus wants to do. And sometimes they need to be dealt with. And sometimes those things are really real. But Jesus wants us to keep growing, keep pressing into who he is, because he has such great love for us. Just want to finish with this picture. Every evening before bed, our kids have to get their pajamas on and use the bathroom. And they have to brush their teeth. When Thea, or Caleb, Reuben, Ethan, when they first got a tooth, we would take them into the bathroom, we'd put some toothpaste on a toothbrush, and we'd stick it in their mouth, and we would wiggle it around. Right here, there we go, she's showing you what to do. The aim of me helping Thea to brush her teeth when she was 1 year old is not that when she is 25, she turns up to my house, gets her pajamas on, goes into the bathroom, and I put toothpaste on a toothbrush, stick it in her mouth and wiggle it around. What I want her to grasp hold of is that there is a principle that it's important to look after your teeth, to brush your teeth. So hopefully when she's 25, she just does it herself. To be honest, she's pretty good at 3 and a half, aren't you? She came down this morning and said, I've brushed my teeth. But it's the same with Jesus. There are things in our lives where, yeah, for a season that was right, but Jesus wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up in him. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, and he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now I'm a man, I think like a man, I want to behave like a man. And actually, that's the truth for us as children of God, is that we grow up in our faith. We learn to read the Bible for ourselves, and it's fine to need each other. We need each other to support us and disciple us and input into us. But we shouldn't be staying in the same place. We need to keep progressing. We need to keep moving on. And Peter, 2 Peter, he writes in chapter 3. Peter writes in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, 2 Peter. He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace of knowledge and Jesus Christ. So in the short time we've had this morning, I want you just to take a moment, and maybe worship team, if you just start to play gently, and then we'll go into a song. But if you just take this moment and just imagine, just ask Jesus, where are the areas in your life you need to grow? What do you need to do? What is Jesus highlighting to you? What are the influences that are coming to your soul that maybe you need to take captive of? Or maybe there's a chapter in your life that has been defining your life, and we need to move on from it to the newness of what God has for us. We stand, and I'm going to pray. Jesus, I pray as we sing these songs, as we worship you, would we know that you are here, would we know, Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to our hearts this morning? We're here as a group of people, a community of believers, a family. And we are committed to growing as disciples. We're committed to bearing fruit and seeing new people come to faith and seeing our lives go deeper with you, Jesus. We are committed to you, Jesus. Help us to grow. Help us to grow.